Okay. Hey, I'm doing a money series, but I haven't called it a money series because if I put a money series, some of you might not come along. So it's a there is more. And look, this is really broad when I say there is more. There is more. There is more for you. There is more for you. In everything, there is more for you. There is more of God. There is more for you to know about God. How many people think they know everything there is to know about God? Oh my goodness. We go, man, there's so much that I don't know about God. And I think the more that I know, the more I realize I don't know. There is more of God's Holy Spirit to happen in our lives. There's more of everything that we need in resources. There's more. There is more money that you need. If I had $1,000 for everybody in the room here, and I gave you $1,000, I bet every one of you could find a need to give that $1,000 to. Why? Because you go, yeah, look, oh, there's a whole lot of needs out there. Yeah, yeah, I need more. You need more. And so I've spent a bit of time sort of trying to work out how all this finances fits together. Because I really feel at times in the church, we've only really shared a portion of it. When, you know, the Bible has, I think it's over 200 verses. There's more on money than there is about most other topics, which is a fascinating thing. And so this morning, and I think I'm doing it next week because I tried doing this sermon at Coast with all that I had, and I had to rush. So I've got 2 weeks to do it here so that we can just work through it really nicely. But the first thing I want to just show you is the big picture. And so the next slide shows you the big picture. Oh, we might need to come. Oh, no, that's probably all right. So this is my big picture. We're going to get to this picture in the end, okay? But I'm going to take you on some steps along the way. And so the first point I want you to get is number one, if you've got your notes, okay, move on to number one. Here we go. Everything comes from God. Everything comes from God. Romans 11:36. You'll often hear me quote this scripture because I feel it sums everything up. Romans 11:36 says, "For everything comes from him, exists by his power, and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen." And if you've seen me, I just love this little picture that everything's come from God. Everything I have, every good gift comes from God. Everything comes from God. Everything in my life, I'm blessed. It's come from God. But everything is to be lived through God. If you've been here over the last few months, I've been talking a lot about everything's being connected and the Holy Spirit is everywhere. And we sort of, at times, we compartmentalize our lives. We go, oh, this is my spiritual side, this is my natural side. No, they're all weaved in together. There is a spiritual thing happening while you are sitting here. There is a natural thing. You're receiving some things that will make you start thinking, but also God's Spirit is touching you. When you're singing, it's natural and it's spiritual. When you're talking, every person you meet is divine. Every where you go, it's all connected. That's my next point, but let's stay on this point. Everything comes from God. Everything. Everything comes from God. Everything is lived through God. And everything should go back to God, glorify God. Our lives are blessed by God. We live them in the Holy Spirit in our life. That's the life that's within us. It's Jesus within us, helps us to do life. And we do it, why? To glorify God. Everything in our life is to glorify God. If you've given your heart to Jesus, you've said, hey, I now no longer live for myself, I live for God. Easy sentence, isn't it? Real hard one to live. So everything comes from God. Deuteronomy 8:18. Says, remember the Lord your God, he is the one who gives you the power to be successful. In fact, I think I changed this one to the NIV version says, but remember the Lord your God, for he is the one who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. God wanted the children of Israel, when they went into the promised land, to remember that he gave them everything. one of his greatest fear, one of God's fears for the children of Israel was they'd get into the promised land and they'd get blessed and they'd forget God, which I think did happen. The whole thing for us is we remember that everything we have has come from God. Everything we have has come from God. We're blessed, unbelievably blessed, and it's come from God, what you have. Okay, second thought, everything's connected. Everything is connected in your life. You know, we like to think in compartments, and I think possibly males are a bit more compartment orientated, but we all like compartments. Oh, this is my finance side, this is my work side, this is my family side. But look, they're all connected. They're all connected. So some of the things that happen in our lives are affecting some of the other things in our lives. And you know, I think it's like this huge web where sometimes we don't even know the connection. We don't even know why things are connected. It could be God's trying to teach me something. You know, something goes wrong, God can use it for good. So that's connected. You see, we like to just think it's one thing, but often I think there's multiple things that could affect why something happens in your lives. And some things we're never going to work out until we get to heaven. It's like and I'll talk about it a little bit later, but tithing doesn't guarantee you that nothing's ever going to go wrong. But I feel that it has a covering over you that makes a difference for your life. And I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised about a lot of the connections. If you've heard me recently, I've said, hey, I think obedience is more important than sacrifice. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. What does that mean? Well, sometimes we sacrifice things for God, and we think because we've sacrificed for God, we don't have to be obedient to God. But if God's telling you to do something or speaking to you about something in your life, you need to be obedient. Obedience is about being in God's will. You know, we try and offload it. Oh, you know, I've done all this sacrifice for God and all these things for the church and all this sort of thing, so then I don't have to be obedient. No, that's not right. It is more important that you're obedient than you sacrifice. It's more important that your heart's connected with God than what you do. Does that make sense? So in Colossians 1:17, he existed before anything else and holds all creation together. I'm not really into gardening. How many people are into gardening? You fantastic people. How many people are not really into gardening? Okay. But I have lately gone, there is life flowing through everything living. And I think I mentioned it here the other day, you know, like man-made stuff is great, but there is life when you go for a walk in God's creation that makes you look up and glorify God. But you can, I don't know how you sort of define this, but there is a presence around his creation. It's living. It's got life in it. Everything has got life in of God's. It affects you. And I feel like we've got this tug of war between the enemy who's forever sowing weeds into the garden and you and I trying to produce life in the garden and bringing life everywhere we go. So, everything's connected, for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever and ever. Okay, so there's two things. First, everything comes from God. Everything's connected. Oh, that's nice. Okay, here's my third thing. Everything from God is to flow through you. Everything that you have is to flow through you. Everything. Life is made to flow through you. And when I was looking for things around flowing, I ended up in Ezekiel 47, and I'm going to read it to you because it's a great picture of what I think our lives should be. Not just our finances, but our lives. We should be flowing. It should be a flow through our lives. And so let me read you. Ezekiel 47 verse 1 starts, "In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet and then led me across. The water was up to my ankles." Many of you have probably talked about this verse or had it read about the just flowing more in the Holy Spirit. There is more. Some of us are just up to our ankles in the presence of God. We're just sort of putting our toes in. And God wants more for you. There's more for you. "Water up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,700 feet and led me across again. This time the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. Verse 6, he asked me, 'Have you been watching, son of man?' Then he led me back along the riverbank when I returned and I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, 'The river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows.'" Close your eyes for a moment. Here's the picture. That life flows. Life is flowing through you, out and touching everywhere that you go. And the purpose is that everything around you flourishes. That you bring life to every situation. That you bring life to every person around you. That you are a person that brings life, that causes things to live and to grow. You're to bring peace. So you should be someone that wherever you walk, that peace flows out of you. That joy flows out of you. That life flows out of you. You can open your eyes. See, this picture is of the fact that if the water flows through you, it begins to have life to it. If finances flow through you, they begin to have life to you. But if we think of pond or lake or pie, then we think, oh, I've only got so much. The Dead Sea, how many people have swum in the Dead Sea? I'm one. It was funny. Because the Dead Sea is so salty, you float way up. It's quite phenomenal. Little side story. So we were there. We were on our trip, Eleanor and I. And no disrespect to the English, but there was an English person. Well, there was actually a few English people on the trip with us. And they said to them, "Now look, when you go down to the Dead Sea, don't put any on your face. Don't put on your face. It'll really hurt." The British guy, I can't even remember his name. He just walked up, gets into the water, goes, whoosh, whoosh, "Ah!" It was entertaining for us. The water is dangerous. Like it hurts. Yeah, his eyes already couldn't even see you. But what happens is that when life flows in, this picture is a picture of life flowing through. Jesus said, you know, that our lives, that he's the living water that gives life. You know, you and I are the people that have got to give life. Your purpose is to flow life out. And to have it and to come into dead situations and dead places and to bring life. That is the purpose of your finances. That they would flow through you. That they would flow through and make a difference. The flow from our life should bring life all around us. The flow of our words and our deeds and the flow of our finances should bring life. John 7:37 says, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water flow from his heart." And when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. But you and I have been given the Spirit. It's to flow out of us. My question is it flowing out of you? Is life around you? Does everywhere you go, the life flow? Revelation 22:1. I'm not sure where I've actually put that. Oh, I did. Very clever. The angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the end of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit with a fresh crop every month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. Look, this is a picture in heaven, but I go, that's what our lives, that's the plan, that you're full of fruit, that people come and eat. They come around you and they eat, not just naturally. Yeah, I want to be good to do hospitality, that's a good thing, but spiritually people are encouraged around you. You've heard me say, I just feel too many Christians look depressed and unhappy. And the world is on their shoulders. And if we think pie, and we keep, it causes us to get stale. You know, a pond that doesn't flow gets yucky, gets stale. No, it's got to flow. And part of the reason some of us are sitting in the place where we're feeling so I suppose, inward and so heavy is that we're not giving out. You will get new life when you start giving out. When it starts to flow through you. It actually, the flowing through is actually what refreshes you. You know, my cup runs over. The picture of the Holy Spirit is that you'd be baptized in the Holy Spirit. What's that? It means that it fills you right up and it overflows. It's not like it's, oh, we'll just take a little bit out. I've got half full and I'll take a little bit. No. It's so flowing into you that it's flowing out of you. And in fact, sometimes we have blockages because we don't let it out. So there's number three. Everything from God is to flow through you. Number four. You doing all right? Ooh, I'm having fun. This is one of my favorite topics. Okay, who do you trust? I think finances is all about who you trust. 1 Timothy 6:17. Teach those who are rich in this world. That's us. I'm sorry, that's every single person in here. Even if you're on the benefit, you are in the rich list. Top 5%. This is to us. We all sit there going, oh, that's for those other people, you know. And we pick off. So, no, this is to us. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. Always be ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. There's a whole lot of great pictures. Now, I think I could spend a whole message just on that verse or those verses there. But here's the question, do you trust, what do you trust in? What's your trust in? Is your trust in God? Is your trust in God? Who do you trust? And our trust has got to be that we believe and we trust God. And our favorite characters, see people like Job. No matter what happens, God, I'm going to trust you. It takes away everything. The Lord blesses and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How are you with that? You know, I got to spend a bit of time with Dr. Michael Maiden, who, if you were here on Wednesday night, talked a little bit about losing everything. They had a church, 4,000 people in the church, and they're on a building project, and one of the treasurers or one of the people on their board embezzled $20 million. And of course, that hit the papers, and his church went down to 100 people and in dire straits. And he talks about the journey of going, I've just got to get back to trusting God. And look, I know there's some stories in here where you've gone through some things, and our heart's got to be, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. I think I said at the start about how we've given our lives to him. It's yours anyway, God. You can do whatever you like. Hebrews 13:5 says, don't love money, be satisfied with what you have. For God has says, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. I found this fascinating because I've listened to that scripture before. God will never leave me or forsake me. We quote part B all the time. God will never leave you or forsake you. But look at the context. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. Moving right along. Number five. Tithing is about who is king. Tithing is about who is king. Malachi 3, and look, a few years ago, and I think I've shared this before, I went on my own journey to work out whether I believed in tithing or not. Because you've got all these people that debate it this way or that, and the people got books, and I thought, I'm just gonna read through the Bible. I'm just going to look for anywhere where it said about tithing or offerings, and I'm just going to do my journey. Well, I'm still going, but you know, I remember saying that I was doing that, and my dad said, oh, look, there's tithing right at the start in the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Evil, God set aside what was his, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God has always gone, part of it is mine. And you can look through, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but there's first fruits. I think God, all the way through the Bible, there is a pattern where God says, you've got to give to me first. If you even go look at Cain and Abel, if you've ever tried to work out why was God unhappy with Cain and Abel, and there's about three things that it could be. One was that Cain didn't bring the best, but Abel brought the best to God. The context of Malachi is all about the priests and the leaders. This is to the priests and the leaders who in the temple weren't honoring God. They were having sacrifices come, and they'd think, oh, people are bringing good stuff. I'm going to keep the good stuff. Oh, this sheep's lame, and this is we'll put that on the altar to God. And God was ticked off with them, the leaders, because they weren't giving good offerings. Cain and Abel, what was it that he didn't have a quality, you know, didn't give of the best? Or was it that he didn't give of the first? Abel bought the first of what he had. Cain just bought from what he had. I think there's something about where we declare who is our king in our lives. There is something about sovereignty where you go, I'm under God, I'm in obedience to God, I live under God, you're my king. You see, I mean, I've been joking a little bit saying, oh, we say we give our whole lives, but for some of us, we can't even give our finances. Maybe I wasn't supposed to say it quite that blunt. God is your king. If God's not your king, who is your king? This is a declaration of who's king in my life. It's saying, God, you're my king. I'm under your sovereignty. I'm under your covering. God, you are Lord over everything in my life. You are in authority. I come under that. It's an obedience thing. It's a covering. Otherwise, your God or your king will be money, mammon, materialism, or Satan. And you serve him and he has every right to everything of yours. See, so some of our things, you know, that God's taken from us are because he's not king. Now, again, it gets really complicated because people go, oh, are you just saying that this means this? I don't know. Sometimes I just know that the more obedient I am to God and the more I walk in his will, I know that God's in control of everything, and that it just seems to be that I get more lucky. But it's not lucky. It just seems that the more I do think, you know, for me, tithing affects all of my life. I think I've mentioned a few times, you know, we nearly went bankrupt, would have been about 15 years ago, and I remember losing our house and going, wow, we've got no house, and we moved down the road into a rental house that, you know, the blessing now is that we own that house, which was a miracle, but we moved into this house and we're renting, and I remember sitting there going, you know, it was about 4 weeks later going, okay, what do we got? Well, we've lost our house that we'd built, but Ellen is still with me. That's a blessing. Our kids are all healthy. We're still in a good church. I still had a job. I sort of went through it and went, actually, nothing's really changed. Nothing's really changed. Because it's not about those things. Horrible thing to go through, but great lesson. Where's your trust? Tithing's about God being king and going, I can trust you. You're in control of everything. If he's not your king, I think you're fair game. The first belongs to God. I think tithing puts me under God's protection. Do you know that in the last 30 years, I've only probably had 2, maybe 3 sick days. What's that? Well, I think that's part of it. I go, whoa, good health. Although this week I had to have a tooth pulled out. That wasn't very nice. That was painful. Well, the pulling out wasn't. The toothache was painful. There's a whole lot of laws going around. And I think what it comes back to is, what's God saying to you and what do you need to be obedient to? We stand before God, not before people. Number 6. Oh, so now we've got my little diagram. Let's jump onto my little... So here we go. Everything comes from God. This is my little picture to go. And we're to steward and consume the 90%. But the 10%, that's God's. I give that back to God. Never think twice about it. That's God's. It's the way I live. And I've lived it all my life. And yes, I think if you were here a couple of weeks ago, I said, oh yeah, we nearly went bankrupt. But I didn't go bankrupt, which I put down to tithing. My business partner did. But I go, God protected me through it. Okay, number 6. God tests your heart. Hebrews 11:17. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. Look, there is this whole thing that God wants it all. And I don't know where it happens, but every now and again, I believe God goes, this has got into your heart, I want it. And it's so it's easy to go, hey, I've got to keep God first. But if something creeps into our heart, I think God at times goes, I want that. I want that. God wants it all. He wants to be number one. And you can't serve two masters. You can't serve both God and mammon. You can only serve one master. The musicians are coming. I'm halfway through, so that's pretty good. Can I tell you that the best half is next, the next half? We'll just show them very quickly. Jump to the next one. So I'm going to talk about giving and sowing. And I think that affects your whole life. That's how the blessing of God comes into your life. We reap and sow and reap. It's everything that you have is a result of what you've sown. And I think we should be sowing all the time. I'll talk about that. What's the next slide? So I'm going to talk about you reap what you sow. Carry on. We're just going to do a real quick one. 8, blessed to be a blessing. You're, everything that you're blessed with is for a purpose, to flow out to be a blessing. Okay, so here's the blessing. Yeah, the blessing of God comes over your life. Move on to the next one. Store treasure in heaven. I'm convinced that God does not want you to store down on earth. Okay? And I'll talk a little bit about that. Next one, invest while he's gone. And if we move to the next one, it talks about, I feel we've got to invest as well. And I've just put some figures down there, but I go, look, there's different seasons in life. At some stages, you've got nothing left to be able, it feels like you've got nothing to sow and nothing to invest. But I go, look, at least do 1%, at least do something, sow something, invest something. Just start something, because that begins to do a circle, and there's the next one. Maybe you can get to a bigger area. And then go to the last one. So it's about inheritance for your children's children. What are you going to pass on to your children's children? Go to the last one. And there's my summary. And I'm going to go through the rest of those next week. Why don't you close your eyes? There's more. God's got more for you. There's more that you can do. I've also come to the conclusion that 65 is not the retiring age in the kingdom of God. You're called to be productive your whole life while you can. It's not about how much or what. It's about just doing what God's called you to do and having a flow. Father, I pray for every person here that your blessing would fall on them. Holy Spirit, touch them. Speak to them. Why don't you just take a moment? What's God speaking to you about? Our tendency is we want to hold on to things. Our tendency is to put all the arguments up, but look, throw away the argument and go, God, what do you want? Find where God's speaking to you and where the peace is, because the peace comes when you're obedient to God. Holy Spirit, I pray, touch people. While everyone's got their eyes closed, if you've got a financial need of some sort, any sort, why don't you just stand where you are? I know Victor prayed for people who wanted houses last week. If that's you, then just stand again. If there's anything where you go, God, I need finances in my life. Maybe your business is struggling. Maybe you have something on your heart that you know, man, I need to give to that. But I just don't know where it's going to come from. Father, I pray for each person standing that your blessing would touch them, Father. God, that your blessing would come. Father, as they walk in your obedience, as they trust you, Father, I pray that you would flow into them.